silence for the stuff. It's a pretty loud day today for recording. I'm not recording really in my usual place today. And truth be told, I don't even have... Okay. What's up, guys? Today is a little bit less formal. I don't know. Professional, maybe? I don't know what the word I'm looking for is. I don't have a trailer for you today. I'm a little bit behind. This is actually the reason that I chose to do every other week in the first place, is because I knew my life would get super busy around this time, and I would not be able to keep up with a chapter per week. So instead of doing a trailer today, I figured I would do some filler. Some of you voted on a pyrokinetic named Jason for December. And considering that I have done I've already like written some of this Jason character, I figured I'd just read some for you today instead of trying to do a whole trailer or anything. Just this, today's just going to be a bonus filler day. So we'll just jump right into it. The subway's train squeaked along the tracks in the darkness of the tunnel. Jason's eyes were glazed from his last shift, his hands black from the smoke. His head swayed back and forth as the speed of the train fluctuated between moderately fast and really fast. Lost in thought, he failed to notice the train slowing down, preparing to stop at the next station. 35, a voice said on the speakers. Passengers of all shapes and sizes arose from their seats and picked up their belongings. Some in fancy clothing, obviously business people, others in regular clothing, like they were going shopping or to the park. Jason was the only person in a blue pyrokinetic jumpsuit. People funneled out and were replaced by similar-looking people that Jason didn't care to notice, until an old lady came with a cane walked in. He huffed, looking around for an empty seat, hoping, dreaming that he wouldn't have to get up after a 14-hour shift at the factory. He locked eyes with the old lady, who smiled. Crap, she sees me. Nothing. Every freaking seat was full. The only open seat was being occupied from some bags and papers clipped together by an ice clip. They probably belonged to the skinny blonde across from him. One look at her and he could tell the exact type of person she was. Several strands of curly blonde hair escaped from her ponytail, giving off the impression that she didn't spend much time on it. But come on, obviously that took a while. Her hair only complemented her light pink dress that covered her knees. Just looking at her almost gave him chills. Not from the air that creeped toward Jason, or the mist that escaped her nose when she breathed, but from the way that her face just screamed, "Don't talk to me." She held a stack of papers in her hands, inspecting them like they were her newspaper nephew's grade card with all F's. Once she was finished, staring daggers at the paper, she stacked it onto another pile, sitting on the empty seat next to her, pinning them together with ice that wrapped around each new paper, encasing them to the frozen portfolio, encasing the stack into a frozen portfolio. The grandma was still smiling at Jason when he looked up. He huffed once more, letting subtle steam escape his mouth, then slapped on half a smile as he stood up and gestured into his seat. The granny was already on the move when he slapped his knees to get up. He felt weak. He felt like falling over and letting people around him think that he died. That would have been kind of dumb. The granny already began to pull out a little mirror to check her hair, dropping the sweet old lady act she had when asking for the seat in the first place. Not even a thank you. Figures. Jason grabbed onto the rail as the train banked right. The ice portfolio fell off the seat, and Jason caught it before it hit the ground. The lady pushed her head, pushed her glasses up, apparently noticing that, yes, other people do exist in the universe besides me. She met eyes with Jason, who handed the papers to her. They were dripping and had already half melted from the sheer temperature of his hands. He looked shocked, and his cheeks went pink. "Sorry, I'm pyrokinetic." The girl's eyes dropped when she saw the papers, now soaked from the melted ice. "It's okay," she said, as soggy wet paper flopped in her hand. "It was just trash anyway." The paper stiffened as the water refroze. Jason nodded his head, acknowledging the situation, but not wanting to speak. He sighed, letting subtle steam escape from his mouth and gather on the metal ceiling. This sigh was different from the last. He was now less annoyed at the granny and more silently wishing she would move her stuff so he could sit down. She gathered the rest of the papers and encased them into a block of ice, thick enough to last for hours. She opened her bag and tried fitting the block inside, but it didn't fit. The bag wouldn't close. She breathed out, leaning back to rest her head on the wall as she held the block of ice. "Something wrong?" Jason said. "I've got too much ice in my bag. I can't melt the ice. I can only make it stay cold." "I thought hydrokinetics could manipulate water in any form." "Well, yeah, but it's a bit harder when the water is solid ice." "I could melt it for you, if you give me your seat." Her ocean blue eyes went wide and she blushed as she stammered on her words. "I'm sorry, I didn't think about..." "Here." She grabbed her stuff and placed it on her lap, uncrossing her legs and sitting up straight. "I'm Brooklyn." "Jason. Nice to meet you." Their hands sizzled as they shook, almost too soft to hear, and his hands left a black mark on hers, which they both noticed and exchanged a glance. "Sorry, I just got off work." She took out a handkerchief from her bag and wiped the soot from her hand. "It's okay. Do you do factory work?" "Yeah, I work at a Stellar Automotive. I heat up the metal till it's liquid." "Speaking of liquid." He took a seat and she handed the bag to him. He merely had to stick his hand in, giving off a low heat. And the bag began to drip from a hole in the bottom. He dripped all over his pants and it now looked like he peed himself. Brooklyn hovered her hand over the bag and collected all the water into a baseball-sized orb above her palm. Even the water trapped in the jumpsuit rose into the air in small drops. The water solidified and turned a light shade of blue as a ball of ice dropped into her hand. "Thanks," she said.
"No problem."
"So, you work thirds then?"
"Yes and no," he said. Brushing off the dust from his jumpsuit.
He looked at his hands and how dark they and dirty they were compared to her perfectly clean, small hands.
"I work double shifts. I work 16 hours. The girl's eyes went wide.
"Are you serious? How is that allowed?"
She grabbed her bag, pulling out the ice block with the other papers encased.
She brushed shards of ice onto the floor until the papers were revealed. "This could be it." Once she pulled out an empty paper, she uncapped a pen, and looked expectantly at Jason.
"What?" he said. His eyebrows scrunched. This could be my big scoop, she said with a smile. Factory workers mistreated at major automotive company. I can just smell the Pulitzer. Jason cracked a smile. A slight chuckle made steam escape his nose. The twinkle in her eyes was cute. I hate to disappoint you, but they're not mistreating me. I have a mid-level healing factor. It's a side talent. I recover energy quickly when I sleep. I actually signed up for this. Sorry to ruin your big scoop. The twinkle in her eye faded, and she exhaled, letting the mist escape her mouth as her shoulders sank. Darn it, she said, encasing the paper in ice once again. Thanks anyway. She leaned back, letting her hand rest on the water window once again. Letting her head rest on the window once again. Jason noticed a small coffee cup sitting by her leg, half glazed over in shards of ice. Is this your iced coffee? He said, picking it up. As soon as he did, the frost melted from the outside and began to drip. It didn't used to be. I kind of forgot about it. Pretty much no good to drink anymore, she said. She lifted her head, grabbing the cup as he offered it. Steam escaped from the cup when she removed the lid. A slight smile crimsoned her lips as she took a sip. Perfect temperature. Thank you, she said. I guess this day won't be a total bust. Just then the doors of the subway opened, and she grabbed her bag and gave Jason one last smile before darting out of the door at a New York pace. Nice to... she was gone. Meet you, he said, and took a long breath as the door squeaked shut. Later, Jason sat in the back of a cab, spacing out, watching the tiny identical apartments pass by. He shook his head and tapped on the glass. You passed it. Back there. It's back there. The car pulled into a driveway and turned around. That's 45, like always. Jason reached into his pocket and pulled out a triangular chip. Brushing his finger over the top made a neon 25 flash dimly. Shoot, he said under his breath. The cab driver rolled his eyes. You gotta be kidding me. Again? Jason handed the chip to the driver and opened the door. Give me a sec. I got the rest inside. The door clicked shut, and he ran up to his apartment door. Tapping his pockets for the key, front tap, two times, back tap. Oh, I get it. He's tapping his pants pocket. Okay. Tapping his pants pockets for the key, front tap two times, back tap two times. Eyes wide, he ran back to the car. What'd you forget this time? Your keys? Said the cab driver. Yeah, he said. He patted all around the seats. No keys, no money chips, no luck. He exhaled. Dang it. The cab driver shook his head. It's the last time. You find another cab. I ain't putting up with this crap no more. Get out of my car. Wait, Terry. I don't have any other way to get to the subway. And I don't have the kind of time to be giving out free rides. Scram. I'll give you the other half in the morning, I promise. No, I'm done with this. Terry rolled up the window and peeled off, leaving a cloud of dust behind him. Jason coughed and went back to the apartment door. And the old man sat on the porch next to the door, wheezing a laugh to himself. Hang on. Okay, I'm back. That was like probably no time for you at all. All right, so where was I? Jason coughed and walked back to the apartment door. An old man sat on the porch next door, wheezing a laugh to himself, proudly flashing his partial set of yellow teeth. He pulled out a cigarette from his pocket, and with a snap of his finger, a tiny fire appeared and lit the butt. He rubbed his fingers together, extinguishing the fire. He puffed a cloud and studied the orange glow of the cigarette butt.
"Locked out again, I see," the old man said.
"Yeah, what's it to you, Crazy Joe? You been sitting on your porch all day? Get a job yet?" Crazy Joe frowned.
"What's your problem?"
Smoke raced out his nose, raced out of his mouth with every word. "It's been a day," said Jason. Joe groaned, lifting his cigarette in salute.
"It's been a year, Jason."
"Yeah, don't remind me." Jason tried the doorknob again, with no luck.
"How is she?"
Joe said, blowing smoke. "She's fine. Same as always. Bills keep coming."
"Life keeps coming, Jason. Your mom's a good lady."
Jason jingled the doorknob again.
"Why don't you just burn it off like last time?"
"Because Jeffrey said one more melted knob and I'm out."
"Ah, Jeffrey's a kook. He's all bark and no bite."
Jason inhaled, deciding to try one more thing. He reached into the back of his shoe, which had worn out and was just now an open slit. He felt a small metal key and pulled it out, letting his shoulders sink.
"Never mind. I got the key."
He unlocked the door, turned the knob, and stepped inside. No burning the handle off, no yelling, getting yelled at by the landlord, no threats of eviction. Inside, he took his shoes off to the sound of snoring on the couch. The lamp was on, and his mom was passed out on the couch with a bag of chips and a soda to her right. TV played the news softly while she snored. 7:30 this fine Chicago morning, apart from the rainy weather. We have some fascinating developments from the scientific community sent to us early this morning. The star named Jesse has recently went supernova, causing a good portion of the star to shoot in our direction. Scientists at Knight's University Lab expect a partial star to cross within 20,000 miles from orbit, so it's entirely possible we might be able to see the passing from the daylight sometime late next year. With us today is Dr. Lindsay Knight, the lovely wife of Dr. Alfred Knight, founder of Knight University. Jason tuned out the report, passing his snoring mother to check on her room.
"Yep, completely clean and organized with the bed made, just as he left it."
He sighed, heading to his own room. Closing the door softly, he changed into his pajamas, setting the dry clothes into the hamper and crawling into bed. He popped earplugs into his ears and closed his eyes, ignoring the morning light leaking through his cheap blinders.
That's it for that scene, that one with Jason. I wrote a kind of a warm-up document while I was writing this current story, and I just write a little bit about Jason, and I ended up liking Jason a lot, and so you'll probably see more of him in the future. Not super fancy today. I'm not going to be editing a whole lot of this, the mistakes out or whatnot, but I did want to hold myself to the posting every week, even if it's just something like this. So, yeah. That is the plan. So I'll see you in the next episode, next week, for chapter, I don't even remember what it is, 21, I think. So, yeah. See you then.